I would like mainly to say a few words about the situation in South Sudan, where I called the attention of the Security Council on a very, very difficult situation on the ground, lots of fighting in various parts of the country, also lots of hate speeches, you know, which could fuel ethnic frictions and possibly worse. So this is something that needs to be watched very closely. This, of course, in a context where we know that the political process is not really gaining traction. Of course, I also briefed the Council on the publication of the executive summary of the independent investigation working group under General Kamut that delivered its conclusions to the Security Council. I highlighted the fact that a number of recommendations already from the previous report in Malakal were being implemented, but the specific recommendations on the Juba incidents in July we will carry through. I have established a task force with a calendar to implement all the recommendations that were made. The Secretary General has approved these recommendations, so we'll try and move things forward as quickly as possible. Of course, when we think back on the incidents in July, which were extremely bad, one has to also remember that the primary responsibility for what happened there lies with the government of South Sudan and with the various South Sudanese political actors. In the words of the Secretary General, these political actors in South Sudan are betraying their people by allowing these awful situations to develop. This being said, there are a number of issues which are of a systemic nature that we have to address. We have to address with the true contributing countries. We have to address with the Security Council, because they are the ones who give us these very difficult mandates to handle operations of peace when there is in fact no peace. And let's not forget that there have been victims, and any victim is one victim too much, but we still have 200,000 IDPs in our bases and camps in South Sudan that probably most of them owe their lives to us, and that work continues.
Kenya's view that the force commander was unfairly singled out for blame in the report, and that the culpability is system-wide at the UN, including at your department.
There is, of course, a system-wide accountability. We all have a degree of responsibility. Look, in the matter of the force commander, I don't want to add salt to the wound. I think the conclusions were irrefutable. And that's it. Let's leave it at that.
Mr. Labzeus, Kenya has said now.
Sorry?
Kenya has said that it will now withdraw its 1,000 troops. How will that affect the mission?
And that, of course, is something that I the first to regret very much, because Kenya has been a solid contributor of troops and police to peacekeeping operations. It is their sovereign decision, but I respect that. But of course, I regret it, and we are assessing what consequences this has on the regional protection force that was decided upon by the Security Council recently, and we're trying to bring into existence as quickly as possible.
Mr. Latsous, two questions. First, the Kenyans seem to think that there were people lined up waiting to replace their troops. Is that the case?
And I hardly see what this means.
And secondly, on the issue of who's accountable, are you expecting any other action against either individuals or units who were involved in the July events?
Well, you've seen the executive summary doesn't call for other big-scale changes. I would simply recall that over the last 2 years, I've had this policy of performance, and that in cases where performance was not there, either from a professional point of view or from a conduct point of view, it is altogether almost 1,000 people that I have sent back home, so this policy stands. I thank you very much.